Nick and Judy, that world really, we looked at Disney, the legacy of these films, and wanted to do something new with it. But we really do pay attention to that stuff. And the same way you are, like, I think we wanted the movie to be more sophisticated than you typically expect from these kind of films. So like that, you brought that up, it's very appealing. Mm-hmm.
I really have to know if Mr. Big's daughter is wearing a bumpet.
In the dress?
No, in her hair.
I don't know how they do that. Is that what they call it, a bumpet?
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
A bumpet. Is that what, like, Snooki wears?
Yes. I know.
When I first saw it, I was like, it's Snooki mouse.
Snooki wears it? It's, yes.
Okay, so is she inspired by Snooki?
A little bit.
I think a little bit.
A little bit more than a little bit.
Long Island, type of a gal, maybe. Yeah, maybe not Jersey Shore.
Maybe Long Island.
I think she's more Long Island.
Yeah.
I never heard of a bumpet. It's funny. Definitely.
It's a shrew bumpet.
a shrew bumpet, yes.
A shrumpet.
A shrumpet, yes.
Shrumpet.
Can't wait to see the mini versions at the Disney store. Get your kid the shrew bumpet.
Yes.
For all the little girls.
Yes.
Get your shrumpet.
That's adorable. Mm-hmm.
So can I jump in with another question?
Sure.
So you said that you were inspired by classic Disney, Robin Hood, things like that. Obviously, you guys must have done stuff with live animals as well. But was there any other, maybe more unexpected inspiration that you kept going back to, like old movies?
I know one that, one of yours was like the pet that you wanted as a kid.
Oh, yeah. I had this weird obsession with foxes when I was a kid, and I begged my parents for a fox. I was for a year, I was like, Dad, I want a fox, and I would not shut up. I want a fox. I was like, when am I getting my fox? They're so cute, and I can have a fox. I can name him Foxy. And my dad was wise enough to kind of say, that's a wild animal. You don't want to have that as a pet. I'm like, oh, I don't believe you. And so he actually made the point of putting me in the car and driving me to like a wildlife refuge where
this is the part that I love. Most dads would not do that for their child.
He's like, I'm going to show you why you don't want a fox. And then so they had the keeper bring out the fox in a cage. And foxes, if you know what they're really like, they're wired. They're kind of like a hyper dog, and they're not cuddly. They're kind of really like, and it was like a little
bitey, snappy,
and it was like, so that's what you want as a pet? And I'm like, no, I'll take it. And I reconsidered. So
how much for the fox for my son?
So I got a garter snake instead. So and then because I well I originally
which is way more cuddly.
I know, it's like instead.
Yes, so that's one of these weird random things. I do like foxes, and that may be one of the reasons that wound up being the movie.
Is that kind of like where the savage part kind of?
Oh, that's interesting. Maybe. I didn't think about that, but maybe that could be, because that was the savage idea was there very, very early in the pitch of the movie, and that could have been where that my dad taking me to the wildlife refuge may have been where that.
Did he use the word savage ever?
Probably. It's crazy.
My dad will not get screenwriting credit.
Is that what you're trying to do? Is that what you're trying to get? A credit for his father. I'm here representing your father.
How did you guys pick the voices of the movie?
Oh, yes.
I mean, as I'm watching the fox, I totally was like seeing Jason Bateman.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you want to talk about our voice?
Yes. That was my question with Jason Bateman specifically.
And it's not a mistake, or it's not by chance that the characters start to look like the actors, because we shoot a lot of reference video of the actors as a recording. And our animators will look at that reference video, not to copy, directly what they're doing, but just kind of seeing like, well, what's the mouth shape, or what did Jason's mouth look like when he said that word, or what was the expression on Idris Elba's face, on that line. And it starts to kind of seep into the performance that even though you have this character who's a fox with a long snout, and an animal face, it starts to look like Jason, because the animators are just kind of picking up, that stuff from those performances. And we were really lucky to get like the top people that we wanted for this film. Because what we'll do is our process, it's different for every animated film, even every film at Disney, but we'll build a board, almost like a bulletin board, of kind of characters and actors that remind us of the character, you know, and we'll pin it up just to kind of get everyone in the room kind of on the same page of, oh, he's kind of like this character. He's a little bit like Bill Murray, or he's a little bit like Jason Bateman. And from that, we'll start to think, well, who would be good? Because eventually someone's got to play this guy, you know, or this girl. So we use that as kind of like the pool, you know, to let the good ideas bubble up from. And we go to our casting director, Jamie Roberts, and we say, like, we see him as this person. And she'll go out and, you know, try and get those people. And we, like I said, we were so lucky. Every character, you know, that we had picks for, our top pick, she was able to get, you know, all down the line. So it's a dream cast, you know, to work with.
Mm-hmm. Well, Disney, who doesn't want to do a voice in a Disney movie? Well, yeah,
like, who would and say Jason no? Said, I asked him, so do you let, you know, what do you think doing this? He's like, hey, it's the mothership. You know, mm-hmm. Disney's the mothership. When the mothership calls, when the mothership calls, you take that call. Yeah. You know, it's like this is every actor kind of waits for that. Yeah. And Jennifer Goodwin, is a dyed-in-the-wool Disney fanatic, or Disney-file, mm-hmm. she calls herself, mm-hmm. where she loves the parks, the movies, the TV shows, just the cartoons. So this was just like, yes. You know, when she got the call, she was already doing a voice for something else at the studio, and she got all these messages. She tells a great story of getting this role, that she had all these messages on her phone from like her agent, her manager, people from the studio, and she thought, oh my God, I'm getting fired. I'm being fired from.
Over and over again.
Yeah, they're calling me to let me know that I'm being fired from that role that I'm doing, yeah. And it was kind of for a home video thing. And her husband said, or it's John Lasseter calling and he wants you to star as the new Disney heroine in a Disney animated feature. She's like, oh, you are so mean. How dare you say that to get my hopes up when I know that I am getting fired. And so she called her manager and she said, good news, it's John Lasseter wants you to be the lead in a new Disney animated feature. So she was like, oh my God, you know, it was just her wildest dream come true.
Yeah, yeah, she had a great time. Yeah.
Wow. Good. So can I ask, sorry to just keep jumping in, but the relationship between those two, between the two main characters, I loved that it was so strong and so affectionate, but it wasn't romantic.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Can you guys talk about that? Because that was such a smart idea.
Well, I think it's nice that, you know, Judy is such a strong character that she doesn't feel like she needs another character to kind of complete her in a way. And she's very determined and very strong-willed. And I think because there were things like we talked about, like moonlighting, if you remember that series, which is a bit that become more romantic. But in a lot of these cop shows, you have very, very strong emotional relationships between partners. And I think we really loved that about the potential for this movie, and the fact that you almost want to see them kind of get together because the chemistry is so good, but we never really wanted to go to a romantic place with them. But the fact that they can continue that this very, very close relationship that gets deeper and deeper throughout the movie, even to the fact that Nick is this very cynical character that never opens up to anybody. And at one point in the film, he shares something very personal, maybe the most personal thing that he had ever shared with anyone in his life, to this person who he didn't like, you know, a couple days ago. It was really telling, the fact that they bond over very similar moments in their lives when they were bullied, and the fact that Nick shut down and said, well, I'm going to protect myself from now on. I'm not going to be that person that I wanted to be anymore. I'm going to turn myself into what everyone expects of me is all that they deserve, and screw them, pretty much. I'm just going to be a sneaky fox. The fact that they can bond over something that's
you
so...
You want to see a monster, I'll give you a monster.
Exactly, yeah, and I think a lot of people do that. I mean, even like Rich and I had experiences with bullies when we were a kid, and it changes you, and we were talking just earlier, and one of the things we were talking about earlier is that at one point during my life, I learned more about the kid who was bullying me, and I learned that he had a very, very rough family life. He was being abused in his family, and that immediately made me feel different about this kid that I was afraid of and that I hated. All of a sudden, I had a huge amount of empathy for, and I think that's what a lot of this movie is about. It's about discovering layers that are hidden in yourself and in others that you don't know are there, and that sort of revelation that happens when you really take a moment to look deeply in yourself and to learn more deeply about where other people are coming from. People who you might initially think, I understand that person completely, when you really don't. So that's where I think we do this a lot in story writing. Mm-hmm. Just like this, we talk about ourselves, we talk about our experiences, and I think that's where the layers of these characters come from.
And I like that Judy's a character that's not looking for romance to make her life better. Mm-hmm. That she's a character that's following a passion. She's following a calling, you know, and that doesn't involve, you know, that a man or a male character is going to get her to that level. It's, this is more of a maturation plot. This is a maturation story of self-discovery. And but she does need a friend, you know. Throughout the story, you can see that she's got the world against her, you know, that she doesn't have a friend. And Nick becomes kind of that common kind of misfit, you know, who's had the same sort of background, like Byron said, you know, that they can kind of, it's difficult for one person to kind of heal themselves in a vacuum, you know, I've found in life. But when a conversation can, between two people that share, you know, common background, that's healing. That's what healing is about. Mm-hmm.
Sorry, I have to wrap it up.
No. What?
Can I ask one more quick question?
Okay,
one
more question.
Okay.
It's
about the no. Like, yeah. In Big Hero 6.
I have Pete's, I have Pete Doctor's email. I can get it. He'd be happy to come over.
Thank you. In Big Hero 6, mm-hmm. the cityscape
Never
is a mashup. I know. Mashup of, like, Tokyo and San Francisco.
Yeah.
In Zootopia, is there a mashup of...
I would say, like, of multiple cities. I mean,
yeah, we looked at New York, Shanghai, Beijing, Hong Kong, Tokyo,
Barcelona.
Yeah. There's a big city.
Get all these. Barcelona.
There's
actually a good Shanghai.
There's a very modern city. It's a very modern city in Brazil called Brasilia. If you look it up, it's an ultra. It's what the '60s thought modern cities were going to look like. And we actually looked at that, and we actually knew. We designed the city very modern to begin with, but then it felt very cold and sterile. And then we started layering
like an alien
history.
Planet or something.
Yeah, because mm-hmm. cities are layered like history. So we have buildings in Zootopia that are brand new, uh-huh. super modern. Also, then maybe that are 50 buildings that are 50 years old, 100 years old, 200 years old, all mixed in.
Because we wanted it to feel like
it's a mashup.
It is mashed up. Yeah,
it is mashed up. Because we wanted it to feel like any city you'd go to in the world, where you step off a plane or come out of a car. And you feel like, okay, this has been here for a long time.
Yeah.
You know, not only is there new, there's old, you know, and there's things to discover.
That's a great question.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you, guys. This is good
Thank
talking.
You.
Do we have time for a photo?
Yeah. Sure.
Can we do that?
You want to take it with one phone and we'll get numbers and we'll...